Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news, Northern High School in Durham has just come out of a lockdown, where we are live there with what the school district is telling us about the situation.
WRAL's Sky 5 was over the scene of a car wreck. It crashed into a truck carrying logs. What authorities believe happened here?
And happening in just over an hour, the man accused of shooting a 15-year-old near a Raleigh middle school is set to appear in court. The charges he's now facing and the latest on how that teenager is doing. We begin with breaking news. Just within the past 15 minutes, the lockdown at a Durham high school has been lifted. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. This is happening at Northern High, and WRAL Durham reporter Monica Casey now joins us live from right there. Monica, what can you tell us you're seeing there?
Well, Jeff, Renee, within the last 10 minutes, we heard the loudspeaker outside Northern High School say this lockdown has been lifted. You can see here behind me, there isn't too much activity here anymore. We saw a couple of unmarked police vehicles leave this area within just the last 2 minutes. So not a lot of commotion here right now. We know the school was in lockdown for about at least 20 minutes. We're not sure yet what led to that lockdown. I've been in contact with Durham Public School officials who tell me they are working to learn more about what led to this lockdown, whether it was something inside the school, something in a nearby neighborhood. We are working to gather more information about what led to this, but right now we heard those loudspeakers say this lockdown has been lifted here at Northern High School. Jeff?
Monica Casey live at Northern High in Durham. Thank you.
A 15-year-old is still in critical condition this morning after being shot near Moore Square Middle School yesterday. The man accused of shooting the teenager, 22-year-old Stephen Stanley, will make his first court appearance in just over an hour. Stanley, we've learned, has an extensive criminal record. He now faces several new charges. Moore Square Middle School will have increased security and extra counselors on hand today to help students process what happened. The school was placed on a code red lockdown for hours after the shooting.
I want to take you to Knightdale now, where Sky 5 flew over the scene of this deadly crash around 9 o'clock this morning. It happened on U.S. 64 near Marsh Creek Road, and that's where we find WRL's Shelley Jackson right now with what we've learned about this crash. Shelley.
Well, Jeff, traffic out of here on U.S. 64 eastbound is flowing again. The scene was cleared and the road opened almost an hour ago. You can still see some wood chips, some glass, some plastic littering the ground. We do have some video taken from Sky 5 earlier this morning. Now, that crash did happen a little bit before 9 o'clock. We're working to confirm some details from State Highway Patrol, but I spoke with a man who said he witnessed the crash. I talked to him just 5 minutes ago. He said it appears that the log truck was parked and the other vehicle had run into the back of it. He said around this time that it happened, the glare was very strong. He noticed that even when he was driving, he had to lower his visor to see the road. He said he pulled over to assist. And the log truck driver, he said, had got out of his truck, went to check the other vehicle, was so disturbed by what he saw, he ran over and gave the witness a hug. Many people have stopped to talk to us about that, saying it was just a very horrific scene, and that person did die from what we understand. So back out here, we are trying to learn more about the name of the person who was killed this morning, as well as details of what happened in this crash. Jeff?
Shelley Jackson live in Knightdale for us this noon. Shelley, thank you. At least 7 people were killed, 30 others injured after a massive pileup on a Louisiana highway. Still unclear when the interstate there will reopen to traffic. This accident involves more than 150 vehicles. It happened on I-5 just outside of New Orleans. At least 2 18-wheelers erupted into flames. Video shows the cars and trucks stacked on top of each other. Authorities say a phenomenon they're calling a super fog was a major contributor, created by a combination of dense fog there and smoke from nearby wildfires.
We're working to learn the identity of a person whose body was found in a trash receptacle in Durham. Police say someone found the body just after 6 last night on Rosewood Avenue. No word yet on how that person died.
Well, temperatures are finally starting to warm up after the coldest morning we've seen so far this season. We could be on our way to record highs by the weekend. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at how quickly we warm up.
Yeah, how's that for a swing? We had a couple of places that hit 31 this morning, and then we could be in the mid-80s over the weekend for afternoon highs. It looks beautiful. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing a few people in shorts and T-shirts out there in Chapel Hill. Folks are enjoying the sunshine. Our temperatures have climbed into the low to mid-60s now, 63 in Southern Pine, 64 in Durham, 65 degrees in Rocky Mount. Around town today, we'll see highs 73 in Raleigh, 72 in Durham, 74 in Fayetteville. That's pretty close to normal for this time of year. Normal is 71. We climb to 80 on Thursday. Friday and Saturday, temperatures will start to climb on up into the mid-80s. Saturday will be very close to a record high, 85 versus the record of 86. And Sunday, we could break that record, 84. And of course, we're looking at the record being 83 degrees. We're going to talk more about how long this warmth sticks around. Will we see it through Halloween? I'll show you coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Now to the latest on the Israel-Hamas war. Talks are underway right now to secure the release of more hostages being held by Hamas. That's according to CNN source reporting. They're reporting the U.S. is working with the governments in Qatar and Egypt in communicating with Hamas. This morning, an 85-year-old woman released by Hamas yesterday said she went through hell during captivity. So far, only four people have been released. Meanwhile, Israel's defense ministry says the nation is preparing for what he calls a multilateral operation against Hamas. And he says it'll be from the air, ground, and sea. House Republicans are voting behind closed doors to nominate a new speaker. Eight candidates are running. No legislation like policy bills and government funding bills can pass without a House speaker. The Republicans running for speaker will need to get 50% of the votes plus one from the GOP conference or a minimum of 113 votes.
Former Trump campaign lawyer Jenna Ellis pleaded guilty today in the Georgia election subversion case. This is the third guilty plea in the past week. She was sentenced to 5 years probation and ordered to pay $5,000 in restitution. Ellis, Kenneth Chesbrough, and Sidney Powell all agreed to testify on behalf of the prosecution at future trials. All three lawyers are expected to shed light on what was happening behind the scenes in 2020. Colorado Springs LGBTQ plus nightclub, where a mass shooting claimed five lives last November, will reopen. Club Q now plans to reopen as The Q at a location about 4 miles from the original location. The vice president of the club reversed course after taking input from shooting survivors and the community as a whole.
Contractors are breaking ground on the Raleigh Union Station bus facility. It will be at the corner of West and Martin Street in Raleigh's Warehouse District. The project will connect forms of transportation from biking and walking to bus services and the future bus rapid transit and rail projects. WRL's Destiny Patterson is live in downtown Raleigh, where local, state, and federal leaders say this project will better connect Raleigh within the Triangle and beyond. Destiny.
Well, Renee, pretty soon this field will be transformed into the Raleigh Union Station bus facility. The Go Triangle CEO says that this will make things easier, like getting to work, commuting, and it will also make it more efficient for some. Officials also say that this will make things a transformative project here in Raleigh. They say that all forms of transportation will be coming through downtown Raleigh for that reason. They say the facility will be able to accommodate future projects, including bus rapid transit services and regional train services. Go Triangle was awarded a $20 million grant in 2018 to make this happen.
Rust Bus is going to do more than serve Raleigh residents. With its location next to Raleigh Union Station, it will serve tourists, commuters, and workers who use Amtrak and passenger rail to come to our city.
In addition to that, developers also have plans to transform the area around the facility with apartments, a plaza for shopping and dining, plus a private parking garage. They say this is a foundation for the anticipated growth that they're expected to see here in the Warehouse District. Now, the bus facility is expected to be finished in mid-2025. That development that I just mentioned around it is expected to be done within the next year or two after that.
The start of a new chapter in transportation there. Destiny Patterson, live in Raleigh.
Next at noon, breakfast was served by the governor in Durham this morning. We'll explain the push to expand access to healthy meals for students.
Also, an off-duty airline pilot tries to shut down a plane's engines at cruising altitude. The charges he now faces.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
More money will be rolled out to schools across the state to provide what's called breakfast after the bell. Governor Roy Cooper shared that announcement today as he visited one school in Durham that's been implementing this initiative for the last 2 years. WRAL's Laura Levine was there and explains how it's expanding access to healthy meals for kids of all socioeconomic backgrounds.
For many years, students have eaten breakfast inside the cafeteria, but many schools in Durham are now part of an innovative program providing breakfast inside the classroom. That's why Governor Cooper visited Glenn Elementary School here in Durham, touting and applauding them on the success of the program that has increased instruction time and breakfast participation.
You can't teach a hungry child.
Walking through the hallways, Cooper greeted teachers and staff. He then stopped inside a classroom as students picked up their breakfast and began schoolwork.
Since COVID, participation this year has gone up over 19% at breakfast, so it's impacting a lot more students. We are feeding over 12,000 a day just for breakfast.
The school nutrition services director, James Keaton, tells me the governor's School Breakfast for Brilliance innovation grants will address a significant need here.
In Durham right now, we have 29 schools on a community eligible program where all the students eat free breakfast and lunch based on the need, and we're at 64% free and reduced kids.
The principal says the success of the initiative is also reflective in increasing the school's performance grade by 15 points over a two-year stretch.
This program is going to provide $1.4 million that will be distributed through competitive grants for up to $50,000 for each school district.
Cooper hopes this funding will support school districts across the state to implement what's being done here. I asked him if the state is on track to address universal lunch as well.
I propose some funding this time to help along those lines that the General Assembly actually funded in their budget. So I think we're moving closer and closer.
So as far as the timeline of when these grants will be dispersed to schools across the state, the governor's office say that the funding has to be spent by next year. Those applications will go out in the next month or two. Laura Levine, WREL News in Durham.
North Carolina Central and Duke Universities are hosting a two-day symposium on the work of a pioneering scholar at the universities. The event is a look at John Hope Franklin's book, From Slavery to Freedom. North Carolina Central hosts a reception tonight starting at 6. The symposium continues with more events tomorrow at Duke. It is free to attend. You can register on the school's websites. Today, we're expecting to learn more about the future of Raleigh's HBCUs. The city is looking at ways to partner with the schools to support growth on the campuses of Shaw University and St. Augustine's. The goal is to help support their transformations into top-tier career and research-focused institutions. This follows a similar plan in place in Charlotte with Johnson C. Smith University. An update is expected during today's meeting of the City Council's Economic Development and Innovation Committee.
WRAL has uncovered the hidden secrets behind some of the most iconic football stadiums in the Carolinas. It's the subject of our latest WRAL documentary, Ghosts in the Stadium, premiering tomorrow night on WRAL. And WRAL's investigative documentary reporter, Kristen Severance, produced this documentary. She joins us now to talk to us about this project. Tell us how this all came about.
Jeff, it was so interesting. So, like you said, I produced the documentary. It's hosted by WRAL sports anchor Chris Lee. And basically, we explore these unknown stories connected to four popular football stadiums and their links to the history of race relations in the United States. I always say the best documentary ideas come when people are curious and they ask why, and that's exactly what happened here. So Chris pitched this after covering the NC State and Clemson game at Memorial Stadium in 2022. He was walking up press row, saw that sign right next to the stadium. It said the burial ground of formerly enslaved people. took a video for Instagram, you know, showing just how close this burial ground was to the stadium. I mean, I've been there. It is right there. And then, you know, that Instagram video, that, you know, thought really got the ball rolling on this whole project. We started looking at other stadiums in the Carolinas, including where they are located, you know, what sorts of historical events happen there. And in some cases, like Keenan Stadium at UNC Chapel Hill, who these stadiums were named after.
That William Rand Keenan, the person who Keenan Stadium is named after, was a part of a brigade of men who helped to kill a bunch of black folks in Wilmington in 1898. And then the light bulb kind of went off for me at that moment. Like, wow, like this stadium bears the name of a white supremacist who wanted to and openly killed black people here in the state of North Carolina. And yet every Saturday, there are black men who are on that field looking to create a future for themselves. And I said, there's something there. And I have to figure out where they're all connected, but there's something there, and that's the story that we need to tell.
Yes, and that is the story we told. It is fascinating. You know, I do want to say the university ended up changing a plaque at Keenan Stadium to honor William Keenan Jr. instead of William Keenan Sr., so his son. William Keenan Jr. donated the money to have the stadium named after his father in 1926. But, you know, some historians and some professors say that's not really enough. There's nothing on the site explaining, you know, why the change was made. And Jeff, you know, this is just one of four in-depth stories in the documentary. You know, we went all over North Carolina, mm-hmm. South Carolina, and really pieced together this historical documentary on what happened at these sites. And in some cases, you know, what communities were moved or erased because the stadiums were built.
It is fascinating.
It is so interesting. I learned so much. And if people watch, I know they will too.
And we see them on the, you know, we see these stadiums
yes.
on TV all the time. The stories behind them.
Yes, it is. I was left speechless at some, yeah, at some points.
I think a lot of people will be jaw dropping at this one. Thank you, Kristen, so much for this. You can watch Ghosts in the Stadium tomorrow night, 7:30 on WREL or on WREL.com.
Kristen, Jeff, thank you. Looking forward to learning more about those hidden histories of our local stadiums. This morning, Elizabeth, was chilly. It was more like football weather, and now we have golf weather.
We do. I don't see anybody in shorts, but definitely some short-sleeve shirts as our temperatures are really warming up nicely. We did have temperatures that dropped down to freezing in a lot of places, including right here in Pinehurst and Southern Pines. This is, of course, Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Our temperatures are starting to warm up nicely in the mid-60s now. We're going to climb on up into the low 70s for our highs this afternoon across our area. Right now in Southern Pines, it's 63, 64 in Fayetteville and Goldsboro, 63 South Hill and 61 in Roxboro. So that sunshine really taking hold. Just a couple of degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday, as much as 5 degrees warmer in South Hill, but 2 degrees warmer in Southern Pines. 73 is our high temperature forecast for today in Raleigh, 72 in Durham and 74 degrees in Fayetteville. Our forecast for tonight, not nearly as cold. As a matter of fact, in some places, temperatures will be 5 to 10 degrees warmer than they were yesterday. Still looking at the chance for 39 in Roxboro. Roxboro dropped down to 32 this morning. 40 in Siler City. Siler City dropped right down to freezing as well. Raleigh at 45. Raleigh in the Triangle area, we saw 38 degrees for the official low this morning. 43 Lewisburg, 45 in Wilson. We did end up seeing some patchy frost in some places, but the temperatures were not cold enough in a widespread enough area to call that the end of the growing season. So next time our temperatures get down to freezing, at least parts of the viewing area will still go under a frost advisory. We'll see that until we get a good freeze across our area, and then we won't hear about it again until the spring. 41 in Robbins tonight, 41 in Sanford, 47 in Fayetteville. We tend to see these coldest temperatures of the day between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning this time of year. We take a look at the cool air that's been sitting over us for the last few days, and it's very warm back to the west. So we're going to see finally that cool air moving out, and the warmer than normal temperature is taking over in a big way for us. We talked about at the beginning of the newscast that we're going to end up seeing temperatures well above normal. Our normal low is 47. We jumped to 57 by Saturday and 59 on Sunday, so our morning temperatures will be warmer. Our normal high is 71. We'll be a little above that today, and then well above it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at least into Monday. We talked about our potential records. We're not likely to set a record on Friday. 82 is our forecast. 87 was the record. But 85 on Saturday versus 86. We're only going to be a degree from it. And of course, we could break that record on Sunday with a high of 84 versus the record of 83. Let's talk about what happens after that. Over the weekend, big area of high pressure. It's going to be nice and warm for us. But we're going to see a front that's been stalled back to our west, starting to move in. This is Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. We're focusing on Tuesday because, you know, it's Halloween. And there is a chance that we could see a few showers for Halloween evening around trick-or-treat forecast time. We'll call it a slight chance right now. The timing of that front could be either faster or slower than what we're seeing right now because it's a full week away. Temperatures should be mild in the 60s at trick-or-treat time, but again, we have a lot of time between now and then to check it out. In the meantime, it's not really going to be feeling as much like late, you know, mid to late fall, looking at very warm temperatures through the weekend. We also still have a system or two in the tropics. We're going to take a look at where Tammy is headed coming up.
From winter this morning to summer this weekend. Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
We are just 8 months from the return of the U.S. Open to Pinehurst, and the preparations are getting underway. Another live look at the course right now. Coming up today at 5, Gilbert Bays goes behind the scenes of what setup looks like for the 124th U.S. Open Championship.
Then tonight at 6, a massive advancement in the removal of dangerous chemicals in our water sources. Climate reporter Liz McLaughlin explains how the process works and the heart-wrenching loss that led the founder to create the water purification system. And still ahead this noon, Panera is at the center of a lawsuit surrounding its lemonade. Why one family claims the caffeinated drink could be deadly.
And if you're afraid of needles, this is for you. How you could soon get vaccinated for the flu from home without seeing a needle.
You can blame it on the weather. The price of chocolate may be on the rise. And the UAW expands its strike to another auto plant. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
The United Auto Workers have expanded their strike to a Stellantis plant in Michigan. The facility makes the Ram full-size pickup trucks. About 6,800 UAW members at the plant are involved in the walkout. The UAW says Stellantis has the, quote, worst proposal on the table in terms of wages, cost of living adjustments, and other issues. This latest move brings the total number of UAW workers on strike at Detroit's three automakers to more than 40,000. The Justice Department is investigating Tesla on a number of issues. The electric vehicle giant says the DOJ is looking into its autopilot and full self-driving systems. And an investigation into the range of Tesla's EVs is also underway. Tesla disclosed the investigations in a securities filing yesterday. It also said in some cases the DOJ has issued subpoenas. And investigators are also looking into what Tesla describes as personnel decisions and personal benefits of people at the company. You may be paying more for that chocolate bar in the months ahead. It's because the weather phenomena El Nino is hitting the cacao bean crops in West Africa and elsewhere. The bean is roasted to make cocoa, but crops are being affected by warmer and drier weather lately. That has sent cocoa futures soaring to the highest level in 44 years, and candy prices in general. Well, they're already higher this Halloween season. They're up 7.5% from a year ago, according to the Consumer Price Index. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
How about this? You could soon get your flu vaccine right at home and without the pain of a needle. The FDA is reviewing an application for a nasal spray flu vaccine that you can give to yourself. It's been on the market for 20 years. The drug maker asked the FDA to allow adults to give it to themselves or their children. It cited a study showing that people are able to administer it properly without a healthcare provider present. Panera Bread is at the center of a lawsuit that claims its charged lemonade is responsible for a college student's death. The family of 21-year-old Sarah Katz says she died after drinking the caffeine-filled lemonade. They say Katz had a heart condition and thought she was drinking regular lemonade. Panera says it is looking into the matter.
When our news at noon continues, the plans to make downtown Raleigh safer after concerns of rising crime in areas like Glenwood South and the bus transit center near Moore Square.
Also, an off-duty pilot facing dozens of charges for trying to crash a plane filled with passengers and crew. What we're learning about the investigation into the accused pilot. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. A
happening right now in the WREL Life Center. We're following some breaking news out of Washington. The House GOP has just selected Representative Tom Emmer of Minnesota as the new speaker nominee. I want to show you Tom here. This is his picture. This all comes after GOP members conducted a multi-round secret ballot voting session this morning. He defeated a panel of seven other fellow Republicans to earn this nomination. However, it does remain to be seen if he will have enough votes on the House floor to get the gavel. This weekend, Emmer said in a letter to his colleagues that he was seeking the speakership with the goal of delivering historic change.
Improving safety in downtown Raleigh is the focus of a meeting going on right now with city leaders. All of this is in response to an increase in crime in and around the transit center, and just a day after a 15-year-old was shot near Moore Square Magnet Middle School. WRL's Matt Tallhelm tells us what city leaders are considering.
City Council's Safe, Vibrant, and Healthy Community Committee is meeting inside here right now. This is the continuation of a discussion that started about a month ago after two murders near the downtown transit station and Moore Square and the attack that killed a restaurant manager in Glenwood South. During that meeting in September, city councilors heard some passionate pleas from business owners who described aggressive panhandling and threats made against their employees. They also heard some recommendations from the Downtown Raleigh Alliance and the city's police chief. Some of those safety improvements they're considering include hiring private security to patrol around the transit center right across from Moore Square. We're told those could start as soon as the end of this month. Raleigh police also plan to expand their transit unit and the unit that patrols Glenwood South. The Downtown Raleigh Alliance is also creating a security camera network that allows police to quickly tap into private cameras of businesses that opt in. The committee is getting this update and can make any recommendations to the full council about some solutions to improve safety in downtown. We're going to step back inside that meeting and we'll bring you any updates here on WRAL starting at 5. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
The Colorado Springs LGBTQ plus nightclub where a mass shooting claimed five lives last November will reopen. Club Q now plans to reopen as The Q at a location about 4 miles from the original location. At least seven people were killed, 30 others injured after a massive pileup on a Louisiana highway. It is still unclear when the interstate will open to traffic. That accident involved more than 150 vehicles. It happened on I-5, a stretch of highway just outside of New Orleans. At least two 18-wheelers erupted into flames. Video shows the cars and trucks just stacked up on top of each other. Authorities are calling it a phenomenon called super fog. It was a major contributor created by the combination of dense fog and smoke from nearby wildfires.
A Bay Area pilot is charged with 83 counts of attempted murder after allegedly trying to turn off a plane's engines as it was headed towards San Francisco. No one was hurt, and the plane did land safely. Stephanie McGowan reports the FAA and FBI says this security breach was not connected to current world events.
The threat is now in the back of the airplane.
They were mid-flight, headed toward San Francisco from Everett, Washington, when an off-duty pilot sitting in the extra seat in the cockpit allegedly tried to turn off the engines.
Yeah, we want law enforcement as soon as we get on the ground.
Horizon Air crew members were able to subdue the pilot. Then a flight attendant announced they'd be making an emergency landing in Portland, Oregon.
She sounded in a panic, and then she took off down the aisle. And us passengers just looked at each other and instantly had fear within our bodies.
We knew something bad was happening. We didn't realize the severity of the situation.
Passengers described the following moments as surreal. The plane started going down fast, making several sharp turns. Then they say the cockpit opened and a man walked out without an escort.
He ended up in zip ties in the back of the plane, which I noticed. Your mind can't help but assume that something larger, like what we're reading about in the news, is happening.
Once in Oregon, they say officers escorted the man out and were told he had a mental breakdown. But it wasn't until this morning that passengers realized the man they saw was 44-year-old Joseph Emerson, the Pleasant Hill pilot now facing 83 counts of attempted murder.
When you're on that plane, you're scared to death. You wake up the next morning and you see one of their own was allowed to walk past you unattended. You get angry thinking about that.
In a statement, Alaska Airlines, which owns Horizon Air, says engine power was never lost and crews were able to secure the plane without incident. Those who have known Emerson say this doesn't make sense.
I thought that that couldn't be the Joe the next door, just by his demeanor, how he treats the kids, the family. No indications of anything wrong.
Unbelievably scary and surreal. That was Stephanie McGowan reporting. Alaska Airlines, by the way, is refunding all passengers the cost of their flight.
As a kid, you may have been told you're allergic to penicillin, but it may not be an allergy at all. Why doctors are encouraging people to get tested again.
And medics at the Browns versus Colts game weren't just ready to treat players on the field. How they helped with a special delivery when a fan went into labor during the game. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app.
Well, it's a beautiful look this noon hour at White Lake, Bladen County, and watching WRL News available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Franklin and Wayne counties. The NCDOT is looking to hire workers for Franklin County and Vance counties. A hiring event is happening now until 2 p.m. It's over at the North Carolina Works Career Center in Henderson. The DOT is hiring transportation workers and vehicle equipment repair technicians. They're looking for people with a high school diploma or GED. No experience is needed for some positions. Others need 2 to 3 years, and there will be interviews on site.
And it's all because of you.
A Goldsboro native will be trying to wow the judges again tonight on The Voice. UNC Pembroke grad Caleb Sasser earned a 4-chair turn with his performance of Another Sad Love Song during the blind auditions. And that secured a spot on Team Legend. You can catch his return to the stage tonight at 8, right here on WRAL.
In less than an hour, Attorney General Josh Stein is expected to announce new efforts to keep your kids safe when they're online. Stein is in Charlotte, where he will outline a new safety initiative that's happening at 1:45 this afternoon. You can watch that announcement on the Facebook page of the State Department of Justice. Alzheimer's is a disease that affects tens of thousands of people in our state and their families. Coming up, an advocate explains this weekend's Walk to End Alzheimer's event and the hope it brings.
Plus, if you were ever told you're allergic to penicillin, you might not actually be. Why the allergy is more rare than you think.
If you've been told you're allergic to penicillin, doctors say it might be worth getting tested again. Research shows a majority of people who were told at some point they are allergic actually are not. Often a person is told in childhood they're allergic to penicillin and is never evaluated again. Doctors note that when children are sick, their threshold for developing reactions like a rash or swelling can be lowered. Sometimes there can be an interaction between being sick and being given penicillin, but the rash is not an allergy.
More than 180,000 people in North Carolina are living with Alzheimer's disease, and twice as many family and friends are providing care. A global organization is working hard to provide support and funding for research. This weekend, the Alzheimer's Association will host a Walk to End Alzheimer's in Fayetteville, and WRL is a proud community partner. Joining us now to talk about this fundraiser is Jay Reinstein, who is living with Alzheimer's. Jay, thank you so much for joining us. And before your diagnosis,
thank you so much for letting me be here.
You enjoyed a 25-year career in local government. Share with us what that was like to get that diagnosis and how it led you to become a volunteer with the Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah, well, I love being a public servant. And my last 6 years was the assistant city manager in Fayetteville. And I started realizing that I was having some difficulty processing information and just really keeping up. And when I got the diagnosis, which was, devastating and a real punch in the gut, I felt like I needed some purpose. And it just so happened a friend of mine told me about the Walk to End Alzheimer's. That was about 4.5 years ago. I've been involved ever since. My Jaywalkers team, which will unveil the newest shirt this Saturday, we've raised over $160,000 so far. So it's been something that's near and dear to me. And, with the hope really that we're getting closer to those additional treatments and a cure.
Jay, I love the name of your team, Jaywalkers. That's creative.
Yeah.
Talk about how the money raised helps local chapters of the Alzheimer's Association. How's that money used?
Absolutely. It's used for programming, research. Really, it gets down into some of the grassroots stuff that the Alzheimer's Association does. But most importantly, it's also that advocacy piece and that awareness and education piece. And again, it's letting people know about not only the disease, but what you can do to help folks, not only just raising money, but, you know, to provide that support that so many folks need within our community and around the country.
And Jay, in the video that we're showing folks of past walks to end Alzheimer's, people are holding these flowers. Talk about the Promise Garden ceremony and the significance of these flowers.
Sure. It's actually a really moving ceremony. There's some different color flowers. The blue flower is the one I hold every year, and that's really for a person living with Alzheimer's. The purple flower that you'll see is for a person that has they've lost someone with the disease. The yellow flower is someone that is either a caregiver or is working someone that with someone that has Alzheimer's. And finally, the orange flower is just someone that really supports the cause of Alzheimer's and raising awareness and education. It's a very powerful moment, and you'll see flowers everywhere at the walk, especially this Saturday in Fayetteville.
Just beautiful, and a reminder that hope can bloom. Let's tell folks about the Walk to End Alzheimer's. It takes place this Saturday over at Segra Stadium in Fayetteville. The check-in opens at 9 a.m. The opening ceremony is at 10, and the walk starts at 10:30. WRO Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays will be serving as MC there. Yeah. Jay Reinstein, thank you so much for talking with us. Thank you for sharing your story, and best wishes for a wonderful Walk to End Alzheimer's.
Thank you so much, Renee. Appreciate it.
Jeff?
A lot of success with that. We wish on them. Elizabeth Gardner of WRO Severe Weather Center right now. They should have great weather down there for the walk this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be really warm. Temperatures climbing into the mid-80s, of course, by the weekend, which seems crazy, as pleasant as it's been lately. We take a look at Goldsboro. Beautiful blue skies. Apex, same story. Fayetteville, Chapel Hill, all looking pretty. Chapel Hill there, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Big area of high pressure, keeping things nice and dry for us. It's also helped to funnel some cooler air into the region as well. That high pressure system is going to act to block this next system, which is a front that'll be stationary here all the way into early next week. Plenty of rain will be along it. This area needs rain right here from Texas all the way up towards Chicago. It's in a drought situation, but of course they could see more rain than they can handle at one time. You can take a look here at the red shaded area. That's going to be nearly 5+ inches of rain. If it happens too quickly, of course, they'd be dealing with some flooding. But of course, that high pressure system is keeping things dry for us for the most part. Maybe a few sprinkles late in the week way down along the coast. But for us, we look dry for the next 7 days. We take a look at the tropics, and you can see here, this is Hurricane Tammy. And Tammy is moving northeast at 8 miles per hour, winds at 75. Probably going to hold right there at 75 for a little while, potentially climbing back up to 85 mile per hour winds, and then moving right across Bermuda over the weekend as a tropical storm with 45 to 50 mile per hour winds. Likely to have certainly rip current danger, but some flooding there, some storm surge, and enough wind to cause some minor damage, but 45 to 50 mile per hour winds wouldn't do catastrophic damage there. You can take a look at the computer model plots. Several of them push it toward Bermuda, and then equal amounts take it back out into the Atlantic. But the National Hurricane Center is going with this idea that it points toward the United States. So we're going to take another look at our computer model and follow it along. This is the European model. It moves here. It takes that left turn toward the United States, but watch how it really fizzles out. Once we get into early next week, it all but falls apart. Just a little bit of patchy rain left with it, but really going to dissipate. And then here comes all that rain that we were just looking at across parts of the Midwest, where it's likely to be, you know, as much as 5 inches. We're not likely to see 5 inches of rain here, but we will eventually see that front moving through. The big question is it going to be on Tuesday for Halloween? Is it not? It's still a week from now. So that's something that we'll be watching very closely, the timing of that front, because, you know, a lot of people want to be out Halloween night. tonight. Our temperature Thursday climbs to 80 degrees and we'll keep it in the 80s for highs all the way through Monday. So at least a 5-day stretch of well above normal temperatures. Once that front comes through, that will drop our temperatures significantly. But we have some warm nights ahead. Tomorrow morning, we're looking at 45 and then after that, 50s and 80s. So again, quite warm for this time of year.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Sunday's Colts-Browns game was very memorable for one player's family when his cousin gave birth to her third child right in the stadium. We'll tell you how medics jumped into action next.
And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers on your screen. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. In the last hour, Northern High School in Durham lifted its lockdown. The school district tells WREL someone made a threat to the school. It's not clear what the threat was or how it was communicated. The school was under lockdown for about 50 minutes.
A 15-year-old is still in critical condition after being shot near Moore Square Middle School in Raleigh yesterday. The man accused of shooting the teen, 22-year-old Stephen Stanley, will make his first court appearance in under an hour. Stanley has an extensive criminal record. He now faces several new charges.
We're working to learn more about what happened after a car crashed into a truck carrying logs. It happened on US 64 Business East, right near EBC Village Way. WRL Sky 5 was over that scene around 10 o'clock this morning as authorities investigated. It's in the Knightdale area there. The road has reopened since, and Highway Patrol has not released the identity of anyone involved in that crash.
If you have trouble keeping up with all your different passwords, Amazon hopes to make your life a little easier. The company is rolling out passwordless logins for users. You'll be able to access your account by using a PIN, your face, or fingerprint to unlock your devices. Amazon says this is an easier and safer way to sign in. It's already available on browsers and will soon be available on Android and iOS apps.
There's a special delivery at the Indianapolis Colts game Sunday. Tylan Jones was at the game between the Colts and the Cleveland Browns. She went to watch her cousin, NFL wide receiver David Bell, play for the Browns. And the delivery came when Jones went into labor right at the game. The medics there on site helped deliver the baby at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's Jones' third child, and she said she is thankful for the medics and is still overwhelmed about everything.
I had a talk with her, and I told her she could not come on this day. I'm so in shock. Like, everybody comes in, like, you had a crazy day yesterday. And I'm like, yeah, it was crazy.
You think? Jones says she and her daughter, Kemri, are doing well and says her family got two wins on Sunday, the birth of Kemri and the Browns beat the Colts. Official kickoff to college basketball season, at least for the ACC anyway, starts today with a tip-off in Charlotte. Chris Lee, Pat Welter, Brian Murphy will all be over in the Queen City. Women kick things off today. The men will tip it up tomorrow.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Try Beagles. Pete is a 6-7-year-old beagle boy looking for a home to call his own. He gets along great with other dogs, cats, and kids. He would love to find a home with at least one other canine buddy and a yard as well. He's super snuggly, loves toys, especially his lamb chop that he carries around with him everywhere. Pete is house, leash, and crate trained. You can learn more about adopting him at trybeagles.org.
Whammy. More cases and more hospitalizations. The CDC thinks this year's respiratory virus season will be just as bad as the last. And ahead on our news at 4, a closer look at the agency's predictions and how you and your family can get protection now.
We're going to head on out because it is gorgeous outside. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.